here this morning? Like, why do you go through the trouble of waking up and coming here? Why? Like, what's the point? Why'd you come here this morning? Right, when is the last, like, I don't want to play church. I hope you're not here just playing church. Right, because that's a waste of your time. Like, when is the last time that you spent, like, just angst trying to get into the Word of God and who He is? When's the last time that you really committed yourself to the Lord? Like, you know, this song we sang, I give you everything. When is the last time we gave God everything? I mean, myself included, I'm not throwing stones. Well, we stay so bogged down by our lives, by, you know, the trash has to go out and the car needs gas and mortgage payments and job and boss man and all of that stuff and family issues and all of the stuff of life. We stay so bogged down. How often, when do we ever just say, God, it's enough. I just gotta have you. When is the last time you just marveled at his sky, at his grace, at his awesomeness? When is the last time you really gave yourself all of who you are to who he is? Please don't, let's don't just do church. Let's don't, this is not a social club. We're not here just to like hold hands and sing a few songs. That's not what this is about. Man, we're worshiping the God of the universe. He created you. He made you who you are. He made you to be what you are. Why are we so lackadaisical about that? Why are we so like, you know, I got saved and it was cool or whatever, but like, why are we not investing ourselves in who he is? I don't want to just like do another church. I don't want to just do another church. I want to leave here different. I want to leave here having had an experience with who God is. You don't have to do that here, right? You can do that at home. So do it at home too. Right? Instead of this afternoon giving yourself over to TV and a nap or scrolling incessantly, like give yourself over to the Word of God. Go back and read some of the stuff I'm going to read you this morning. See if it's any good. God is calling for more. God wants more. He gave everything. He gave everything. How often are we giving everything? I think if we were given everything, people in the community of Lafayette would understand God's grace better, God's love better. I think we would understand it. Man, this is something I've been asking for the Lord for, like, this is a few weeks I've just realized, like, I'm not afraid of God. You know, all the time people in the Old Testament were afraid of God. People were afraid of his awesome power and not afraid of him like, oh, God is going to get me, but afraid, like, fear and respect of his size and his grandeur and his awesomeness. Like, where is that in any of us? God gave all. He gave all. Jesus died all. He gave all. He separated himself from his Father, took on all of your, mine, and everybody else's sins. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. I'll give you an hour on Sunday. No, he wants more than that. He wants more than that. It's like, it's time to, I want you to think about why you come here. What does it mean to you? If we're going to do this Jesus thing, then let's do it for real. I don't want Elston Family Social Club. I don't want that. Let's be passionate people who love Jesus Christ and live for him, because he's good. He's good, and he's worth any like amount of trouble that you might get into because of him. He's worth it and all of it. All right. YouTube working this morning, as far as you know? Okay, all right. I just wanted to say, Dakota, I'm sad you can't be here with us today. I hope you can be with us next week, buddy, but I'm glad you'll be able to join us online. So, we got a member of ours in the hospital this morning, and So praise the Lord for YouTube, and I just wanted to say good morning to him. So, okay. We are marveling at our salvation. And so we're looking at our salvation from all of these different viewpoints, right? Our salvation is more than just this one trick pony. It's not just you just get to go to heaven. It's so much greater. It's so much deeper than that. He supports us from all of these different angles. He supports us. He gives us love from this angle. He gives us finances from this angle. He gives us air to breathe from this angle. He gives us emotional support from this angle. Like, it's just everywhere. Like, all this goodness of the Lord just running after us. And we're focused on our cell phones. We're focused on, okay, all right. Anyway, and so our salvation is good. It's good. It's so full of good stuff. And one of the things we're going to talk about this morning is the breastplate of righteousness, because we've been working our way through the armor of God. Now, the armor of God is all of these pieces of spiritual equipment that you can put on because you're in a spiritual battle. Whether you believe it or not, whether you think you are or not, you're in a spiritual battle. And if you're in a spiritual battle, then you need spiritual weapons. And today we're talking about the breastplate. I'm going to read, this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that come from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I tell you what, put up 1 Peter 3:9 for me. When I was thinking about this week, this armor, because you don't have to wear this armor. You don't have to wear it. Like the Bible tells you twice to put it on. Put it on God's armor. Put on God's armor. Which means you don't have to wear it. You could have your salvation, and I suppose you could just be wearing the helmet of salvation with none of the rest of it. But the Bible tells us to stay alert. Watch out, your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, who do you think he's going to go after? The guy standing with his shield and his sword and all of his gear on? Or do you think he's looking for the guy who's scrolling his phone? Who do you think's easier to get? What do they tell you about your houses? You know, you don't have to be locked down Fort Knox. You just got to be harder than your neighbor, right? That's the deal. If you don't want your house broken into, then just a few simple measures will keep your house. I'm just going to make this stat up, but I've heard it somewhere before. But like, if you got a dog, that's like 90% of your home protection right there, because dogs bark. Ours wouldn't do anything, but they would bark and they would wake us up. And so people don't want to. Anyway, you just don't want to be the easiest car to steal. You don't want to be the easiest house to steal. And if you're not wearing this stuff, and the only thing you are wearing is your helmet of salvation and your cell phone as you mindlessly scroll through the internet's garbage, then you're easy to get. And that's the whole idea here, is don't be that guy. Don't be easy to get. Keep this stuff on, because you don't want to be devoured. Anybody here want to be devoured by the devil? I don't want to be devoured by the devil. I want to stay focused on what God is calling us to stay focused on. Look, last week we did the belt of truth. We're in verse 14. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, and this week the body armor of God's righteousness. Now, I told you last week that the belt of truth, the belt today that we wear today, its primary function is holding up your britches, right? Back then, with your armor, it all sort of tied together. So it held your sword, it held your britches up, it held your leg shackle things, your breastplate was tied to it, the back plate, all of it tied together, and it all stayed nice and tight because of the belt of the truth. Now, this is particularly important to this week, because we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Your righteousness has to be found in the truth. It has to be bound in the truth. Your righteousness, if you're getting it from other places, will take you anywhere you want to go, And you'll feel like you're being righteous, but if it's not bound in the truth, in the Word of God, then your body armor is going to be really loose. You've got to have the belt on nice and tight. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else. I count it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I think I read too far. I was supposed to stop at 9. But anyway, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Now, if your righteousness is not sewed in tight with the truth, with the belt of truth, then your righteousness can come from anywhere. So you decide in and of yourself that women's rights is the paramount issue. It's the most important thing. So then anything that violates women's rights, and I'm not making fun of women, this is just an example. Anything that violates women's rights then is secondary to it. Okay? So if women's rights is number one, then a baby is to be put away if it interrupts that woman's rights. And that's righteous because women's rights is paramount. Do you see how we get to that place? Okay, if making sure that I am happy all of the time, if your pleasure is the truth, if that's your truth, that's number one, then your righteousness then comes from that. So if your truth is my pleasure is paramount, then your righteousness will be it's okay if I step out on my spouse because my pleasure is number one. And I am right to do so because pleasure comes first. You see how this happens? We create a righteousness out of a false sense of truth. So if your belt of truth is loose, if you're not solid in this, then you can create any rules you want and be justified to do so. If politics are number one, the way we run our country is number one, then anybody who disagrees with my politics is immediately wrong and not a person. It's okay if we kill them. It's okay if we maim them. It's okay if we disparage them. It's okay if we throw them away. It's okay if we, because they don't agree with me, because they're not on my side of the aisle, because they don't follow my truth, that it is within my righteousness to destroy them. And so your righteousness will, when you put it on, you can rape, you can adult, you can kill, because it's within your truth to do so. It's within your righteousness to do so. If the truth is politics matter most, then anybody outside of that is garbage. That's what happens in our society. We determine what truth is, so then righteousness follows right behind it. Now, we know in this room that righteousness comes from here. It comes from our Jesus Christ. In fact, let's look at a scripture here. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We are made right. So how about this? Jesus gets our sin, we get his righteousness. He lived all of his years on earth, no sin, perfect, awesome, right? We live all of our years on earth sinning a bunch and being terrible people just in general, right? That's who we are. But we get to, when we get Jesus, if you're not saved in this room, you don't get Jesus' righteousness. This doesn't apply to you. If you don't know him in salvation, then you don't get his righteousness. You don't get to go to heaven. That's just the rules. I didn't set them up. I'm just telling you that's how it is. But once you get to know Jesus, then you get his righteousness, and he takes your sin. And that's great. That's really, really good for us. Because otherwise, man, would we struggle. I love Jesus. I really genuinely do. And I sin, you guys. I sin. And I try not to. I love Jesus and I try not to sin, but I do. But we put on his righteousness. Now, can you hear me say this? Your righteousness needs to come from, if you're going to put this on, if you're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness, it doesn't start with your actions. It starts with delighting in the Lord. Okay? You don't get the breastplate of righteousness by performing a bunch of good acts. That's not how it works. You don't put on his righteousness and then go do a bunch of stuff, right? No. You get to know Jesus. He puts it on you, and then your good works come out of that. Out of that relationship. I hope I'm making that clear. You don't put it on and get closer to him. You get closer to him and then put it on. Because otherwise, all you're doing is this moral act, this like chasing of a moral life, right? Because you can be a good person, right? Sure. You could be this a nice guy. You could loan out your lawnmower. You could help whenever people need help. You could give money away. You can do all that without Jesus. None of that has to be done with Jesus. You can do all that I've just decided I'm just going to be a nice guy. And that's wonderful. It really is. But it will not get you to heaven. It's a moral chase. It's just a moral tenet that you live by. It all comes from the overflow of Jesus. If you want to put on this breastplate, it comes from your overflow of your relationship with Jesus. So what's your relationship with Jesus like? Are you really investing in him? Are you really spending time with him? Are you giving him regular time in your life? Are you throwing him an hour once a week? What's your relationship with Jesus like? Because we can get, Christians, listen, real talk, we can get lazy, right? We get lazy. I mean, you know, you've been reading the Bible 30 years or whatever, and you know a lot of it, and it bounces around, and you listen to mostly Christian music, and you're mostly good, right? You're not struggling with really heavy. You're not struggling with, you know, cheating on your spouse or doing drugs or whatever. And, you know, like, I'm good. Like, me and Jesus, we're good. We're solid, right? But how often are we delighting ourselves in him? Like, continuing to try to keep that relationship fresh, right? Like I told you, I've been asking the Lord, let me be afraid of you. I want to see you in your awe. I want to be awe of you. And how awesome you are. Because otherwise, I'm just chasing this moral tenet. I don't want to be this lazy Christian guy coming up here and just giving you this stuff, right? Because I can do this, right? Like, the Lord has gifted me. I can come up here and I can give you a book report every week. I can do that. I have that ability. I could do it outside of my relationship with Jesus Christ. But it would be flat and unimportant. And that's how we get. It's not new for me. Your breastplate of righteousness is worn because you're delighting yourself in the Lord, not because you're doing good works. Your delighting comes first. Jesus comes first. Everything else comes as a flow outflow of that. Everything. If you're doing it backwards, then you're doing it backwards. Okay. Now, once we've got it on, then what is it good for? Well, let's read some scriptures. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Stay away from every kind of evil. Stay away from every kind of evil. Or, as the King James would say it, I know I should have written it down. Avoid the appearance of evil. Avoid the appearance of evil. Okay, so once from the overflow of your heart, you've got the breastplate of righteousness on. So how does it protect you? It helps protect you by you deciding to stay away from all kinds of evil or avoiding the appearance of evil. I don't get in a car with any other ladies. My wife is the only lady I get in a car with. My car broke down and everybody was gone, and one of you ladies was like, "Hey, I can give you a ride home." No, I appreciate it. I'll wait for Shannon to come back and get me. And it's not because I don't trust you or because I don't like you. I'm afraid you might attack me physically. Like, no, I'm not. Like, I don't even think I'm like sexy or good looking. So I'm not even worth that kind of attempt. But the point is, I don't put myself in that situation. I don't put myself in that situation. That's the breastplate of righteousness protecting me. You know, if you're struggling with alcoholism or whatever, like, then out of the overflow of your relationship with Jesus Christ, put on that breastplate and don't go to bars. Don't go. Don't drive by the liquor store. You know, the woodshed and a liquor store sort of share an alleyway, and it's easier to get to the woodshed, at least from my old house, by going through the alleyway, but you have to go through the liquor store parking lot. And I didn't like driving through it. And as a teenager, I didn't drive through it when I had a Jesus fish on my car, and I wouldn't drive through it. I just wouldn't do it because I don't want people thinking that here's this Jesus fish is in the liquor store parking lot. I didn't want people thinking that. And so this breastplate of righteousness will protect you. It will help you avoid evil. And that's good. Evil's bad. Let's see. What else will the breastplate of righteousness do? I'm going to read some scripture here for you. This is 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. And that goes on and on. But, you know, these are the qualifications of elders, of being a leader in a church. So what will the breastplate do for you? It will help you be a leader in the church, which is good. We need more leaders. We need more leaders. It'll help you to be above reproach. Now, does that mean that, like, our leaders are perfect men? Not at all. Not at all. Like, certainly, I stand up here in front of you guys every week, and I am open. I am a sinner. I struggle with being lazy. You know, like, the Bible says that to know what you ought to do and not do it is a sin, right? Like, I sin of omit all the time. Sin of omit all the time. I choose my cell phone over the Bible when I know God is calling me. I do that all the time. And your other leaders in our church, the same way. They may not struggle with the exact same sins, but the same way. And so this doesn't mean that, like, the breastplate of righteousness will make you, like, this perfect person. But nobody's accusing me of cheating on my spouse. Nobody's accusing me of cheating on the taxes or whatever. Like, and so in that sense, me and our men are above reproach. Because the breastplate of righteousness has helped us to avoid evil. Then finally, what else will it do for you? We're going to read a bunch of scriptures here. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 14. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all of his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you'll be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, and they will scatter in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with the grain Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a good people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to give to your ancestors, to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. You will listen to these commands. You will listen to the commands of the Lord that I am giving you today, and you'll be careful. And if you're careful to obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. He will always be on top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. The breastplate of righteousness will bless you, and in turn, let you be a blessing to others. How awesome would it be? How awesome would it be if we knew our money wasn't ours? The money in your checking account is not yours. The Lord gave that to you. The talents that you have, the Lord gave you those. The breath in your lungs, the Lord gave you that. How awesome would it be if with our breastplate of righteousness, we use the air in our lungs, the talent in our bodies, and the money he gave us to be a blessing to others? How awesome would that be? You couldn't put enough chairs in this room. If we lived like that, if we really were a blessing to others, if we really wore that breastplate of righteousness like we're supposed to, you couldn't pack the people in this room. Because they would be, the people would desire what we have. They would see God's goodness through us. And that's the goal here, folks. It's not to get blessed and then sat on a fat stack of blessings. God never wanted that. He wants you to give it away. And maybe you don't have a lot of money, and that's fine, right? But you got something. You got time. You got effort. You got talent. You got stuff you can give away. Give it away. Be a blessing to others. But don't do it just like so people will see you do it. Don't do it because it's a moral thing that you decided to do. Do it because, like, out of the overflow of your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm sorry I've been so hard on us today. But, you know, I pray every Sunday, I pray that you guys will wake up expectant when you walk in this door, expecting God to do something in your life. And that's what I want. I want God to do something in our lives. I want us to be willing to be open to him. So with the overflow of that Jesus has put in you, then put on that breastplate, wear it, and show it off to others. Let them see his goodness. Let's give more of who we are to Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. Help us, Lord. Thank you. Father, we love you. God, you are good and you are holy and you are awesome. God, let us not just like just another day, just another Sunday, just another moment, just another wasted scrolling moment. God, let us live for you, deeply for you. Let us give ourselves away to you in your goodness. I know you'll be faithful. I know you'll be faithful. Lord, you're glorious. Bring us back here next week, expecting you to move in our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.